Welcome to the Life Podcast. We're so glad that you are joining us for another hope-filled message. And our prayer is that you are encouraged by this powerful Sunday sermon.
God's good, amen. Great, you could be seated. What an honor it is to be here. I cannot believe I'm here. What a great church. I know I get to communicate in some great churches in different spots, and so I could not wait to be here. This is one of the great churches, and to be here for the first time in New Zealand. Several times I've been to Australia, about a dozen times, and I've never made it here. I think I'm coming to New Zealand now and not going to Australia. You know what I'm talking about? So bless all those at the other campuses. But I have so enjoyed myself and just thank God for it. Of course, all the locations and what God is doing, those watching online, we're just so glad you're with us. I've loved this church for decades. I've known your founding pastors for goodness about 20 years and watched the impact that you've had in reaching people. And of course, the generosity that you've expressed when you come on a location like this, this incredible space, you see that this is sacrifice and this is people that are faithful in their giving and they love God, they love people. So I just thank God for this space that when you walk up this incredible facility, reaching people, making a difference. And so you're known for your impact and your generosity and then also your leadership. I'm just so grateful for the leadership of this church, and I've known your pastors Paul and Marie for a long time. They would come preach for us. I pastored in Louisiana for 20 years. That's down way south in the States, and Alabama's kind of right next to it. So I'm from the dirty south, if you know what I'm talking about. That's kind of what they call it down in the United States. And we pastored there 20 years. My wife and I, pastors Paul and Marie, would come and preach for us. Just fantastic. Been standing in prayer with you for your senior pastors and founding pastors. And then to be able to get to know what God is doing here and get to know Pastors Luke and Missy, just the real deal. My amazing people. We've had so much fun in the last 24 hours. I just like them. I'll tell you what, I think I'm just going to stay a while, just hang out with them, because they're a whole lot of fun. They love God. They love people. And both of them great leaders, and getting to know them and spending some time with them and seeing how God has used them has been just a highlight. What a supernatural favor that is on their life to lead, of course, this and all that's happening across church life, and what a gift they are to the body of Christ. And Missy's mom and I actually work together in ARC. She helps us plant churches around the world. And so we'll launch this weekend. We've launched one more church this weekend. We will launch in the last 22 years. And when you're generous and you give, you do things like this as a church. We will launch our 1,113th church this weekend. Come on, clap your hands for that. It's a great idea. So Missy's mom helps do that. So it's kind of like we're family. I'm kind of one of those guys. I married a Cajun girl. That's from South United States. They call them Cajuns. And then I'm Italian. So I have a problem of making myself at home everywhere I go, whether you like it or not. I will show up at your house. I will sit on your furniture. I will get in your refrigerator. I am not scared. So I'm just one of those kind of guys. But I heard New Zealand's like that. Y'all know what I'm talking about. So I feel like I've made myself at home quick here. So we do feel like family, and we have dear friends like Pastor Steve Kelly and Joel Kay. I'll be with Pastor Joel this next weekend, so just honored to be here. Tim and I, who works alongside of us there at Highlands, we're just thrilled to be right here and what God is doing, and of course to see what God is doing across church life. And I was not raised in church, so I'm thankful for a church that welcomes people. I'm thankful for a church that offers groups. I don't think I'd be here without a small group today. So not raised in church, showed up at a church, didn't know anything. They didn't have a Connect lounge or a place where you could figure some things out. So church was a little bit of a maze when I showed up at 19 years old. So I'm grateful that a church says, hey, there's a pathway. There's a way for you to connect. There's a way for you to be on a team. There's a way for you to make friends. There's an open door for you. And I love the idea that you talk about a lot here, the whole thing around belonging and believing and building. I think that's the heart of God. I needed that when I showed up in church, and I'm grateful for a church that offers that. But then also, I just love how you reach out to the community. My goodness, I think you're feeding everybody on the whole island with the community kitchen that you're doing, the hundreds of thousands of meals. And then I'm so excited. I'm going to try to come back for this. I may not leave for the hope and the Help and Hope Week. We do things like that called Serve Week or Outreach Weeks. And so the reason, one of the ways I was reached is a church did an outreach and it got a hold of my heart. And 2 weeks later, I showed up at a church that made an outreach, that went out, because there's a lot of people that will never make the first move. until we make the first move. And thank God life is a church of the first move, and that is the heart of your pastors. And so I'm grateful, grateful, grateful for that. And so God is going to do great things throughout the church and throughout these next couple weeks in reaching people. So great to be here. Do get to serve at a great church like this, Church of the Highlands. We have multiple locations, seeing people baptized, seeing people get connected, and love that. And then get to have a great family. My wife and I have been married 35 years this past. I brought a picture of the family. There's a picture of the Rizzos somewhere around here. There's the Rizzos family. So that is my lovely wife. 35 years we've been married. That is my oldest daughter, McCall. She married that young man, Trey. I kind of like him because he's Alabama and she's an LSU fan. That's all college football. And then that's my son, Dylan. He's been in New York, just came back to Alabama. That's our baby girl, Isabella. But the best thing about that picture is our oldest daughter just gave us our first grandchild about 3 weeks ago. I think there's a picture of our grandchild. Look at there. So I really like my oldest daughter. I don't really care for those other two yet. And so that is Harlow. And so I've been getting pictures ever since I've left. And you know how grandparents will tell you, wait till you become a grandparent? I had no idea what that's like. I totally understand what that's like right now. She can have my wallet. She can have my heart. She can have anything she wants. And so our family loves this family. And I want to come alongside of what God is doing, of course, here in church life. I've been watching a lot of the messages. Pastor Luke is an incredible communicator. Just what you came up with when you walked up here, it was like relinquish and receive. What was the other word? It was like three R's, just nailed it like that. I was like, where'd you come up with that just in 1 second? Why am I preaching today when you bring that kind of, you know, stake to the, that was fabulous. Don't you love your pastors? Come on, clap your hands for Pastor Luke and Missy. That was incredible. So I've been watching him preach, and then I love the thought that you're in and the heart behind what God is doing right now about the one. So I want to come alongside of that, get right into what God is doing here. I want to talk for a few minutes around the idea of God's heart for the one. God has a heart for the one. As you've been teaching that and your focus is on that, God's heart for the one. So let's all pray. Father, we love you. Thank you for the time of worship. Lord, we just sense your presence and all that you're doing and caring for people and prayers and with all the things that are happening with kids. And Lord, we thank you for our pastors and thank you for what you're doing right here in this house. We're grateful, God. We lean into you. We need you. So Father, let everyone know that you care about them. You see them. Speak to every heart. Lord, we're open. We need you. So we love you. We love you. In Jesus' name, everybody said a good amen. I want you to turn to the person next to you and say, I'm glad you made it to church today. Come on, look at the other person that was your second choice. Tell them you look like you could use a little church, my friend. I can't wait to be here tonight at 6 o'clock. The service is tonight at 6 o'clock. I feel like God gave me a word to talk a little bit about a key to deal with all the crazy things that come at our life in a day. Just the key to how to deal with crazy, unexpected things that come at us every day that try to get us off focus and get us off centered around Christ. So we'll be talking about that tonight, and I'm looking forward to it. You know, I began to read the scripture when I came to Christ at 19 years old. I'd never read the Bible, and just fascinated with the scripture. Fascinated with the New Testament. I had a good first pastor. He was a long-winded preacher, a confronting preacher. I don't know if you've ever been around with these angry preachers. So my first pastor was a little bit of an angry preacher. He'd be like, let me tell you something. Like, you would think half the time he was preaching to you, he wanted to fight you. He just was that kind of, so a little bit of a long-winded, angry preacher, but a good man, a godly man. And he gave me good direction at a young age, being raised in a little small beach community called Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. I was raised in South Carolina in a beach community. And a little small church, a beach church, and he began to encourage me to read the Gospels and to spend time in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I did not know that those four books, because I did not know the Bible, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, were called the Gospels, that it was the life of Christ in four different angles or four different views from those writers inspired by the Holy Spirit. And so at a young age, I began to read the Gospels and get fascinated that when you read the Gospels and you hear them them teach by Pastor Luke or others, then you get to learn what God is like. That when you see Jesus, you see God. And Jesus said, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So every time you see Jesus reaching people or caring for people or feeding people or praying for people or giving out truth, you see the heart of the Father. The heart of the Father and is complete in Christ. The Bible says that it's the fullness of the Godhead in Colossians that dwelt bodily in Jesus Christ. And so when you read those Gospels, if you don't know what God is like, you get to know what God is like. Because if we're not careful in this world, we'll begin to believe things about God that are not true. And we'll begin to come to assumptions and things will get set in our heart about God or about the Son of God, Jesus Christ, that are just not correct. And so every time I get to read the Gospels, I get centered back on the truth of what God is like, what Jesus is like for my life as a young person or as a married couple or a single mom or whatever dynamic you're in as a student. There's nowhere that I see this heart of God like you see it in the book of Luke, in Luke chapter 15. I love that chapter. It just shows us the heart of God. It makes it real clear what God's heart is about. Jesus tells three different stories in Luke chapter 15, or three different parables, and he tells three different angles really about one thing, and it's the truth of God about God's heart for lost things. And he tells them in a three-story transition of ideas and themes, but it all goes back to these ones. He talks about a one sheep. He talks about one coin. He talks about one son and God's heart or his heart for the sheep or the coin or the lost son. But we see that it also is speaking to us about his heart for us, his heart for humanity, his heart for mankind. I'll just focus on the first one. We could talk about the coin. We could talk about what we know as the prodigal son, but we'll just kind of spend some time in the first few verses of Luke chapter 15. I'll read them to you. I'll read them slow. I'm a slow reader of the Bible. I'm not a speed reader of the Bible. It takes me a little while to read the Bible because I just enjoy so much of it, not being raised in it. I feel like at 59 years old, I'm still learning it every day. And I still love every word of God's word, what it speaks to me as a father, as a grandfather, as a pastor and a friend. Luke 15 verse 1 says this, "Now the tax collectors and the sinners were all gathered around." I love that scene. They were gathering around to hear Jesus. Now, we know that the tax collectors and the sinners, they were problematic for the religious people. That was an issue. But you see this amazing picture of Jesus teaching. You see it in the chapter before that. And Jesus is spending time in this meal, in this gathering. And he's speaking and he's sharing. And it says that the tax collectors, which were the enemies, they were the lowest of the low, and the sinners. It doesn't even gloss over the idea of who's there. It just says right out front, these are the type of people that are there. And not only are they there, they're not in the back room, they're not in the back row, but they are on the front row. Matter of fact, they've taken all the good seats. They've got the best seats, and they've gathered around to hear Jesus. What an incredible picture. That is the heart of the church. That is why we do everything that we do. That's why we give out groceries. That's why we have a small group. That's why we open up a facility. That's why we launch a new campus. That's why we preach the gospel. It's so that people that are far from God can get close to God and have an encounter with Jesus Christ. You think this is amazing, but then it says, but the Pharisees, the old teachers of the law, they muttered, it's an interesting word, complained, whispered, "This man welcomes sinners." Not only does he welcome them, the Bible says he eats with them. He's so close. That's like the most closest fellowship you can have in eating a meal with them. Because the Pharisees that are watching this are thinking, "I would never do that. Why is he doing what we would not do? We would not eat with them. We would not spend time with them. We would not be around them. And here he is doing that." But Jesus knows everything. So Jesus told them this parable. There's a reason for the parable. He's trying to correct wrong thinking and a wrong spirit and a wrong attitude and a wrong outlook. really just an era at epic proportion. And so he tells them a parable, not just the general crowd. It's like he looks right at those that are muttering and complaining. And you ever seen anybody when you know they were talking about you? Oh, y'all know what I'm talking about. When you're in a room and you think, they're talking about me. I know what you're saying. You talking about me? He knows they're talking about him. So he tells them a parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep, loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until, that's an important word, until he finds it? I'm going to find my lost sheep. And I'm going to look until I find it. I'm not going to put a time limit on it. I'm not going to put a certain type of dynamic on it. I'm going to look until I locate it and I find it. Sounds like the heart of the church. Let's reach people until. Let's give until. Let's worship until. Let's expand until we reach everybody possible that we can reach. Until we find them. And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders. Then he goes home, and then he calls all of his friends and his neighbors together and say, rejoice with me. I have found my, I love the ownership there. I love the responsibility. I love the relationship that the shepherd has with the sheep. Remember, this is Jesus telling this story, and he's talking about you and I, and he's talking about everybody. And Jesus says these words. It's written in red in my Bible where the words of red are Jesus. I have found my lost sheep. And I tell you that in the same way, everybody say same way, there will be more rejoicing, not less, but more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner. Think about that. More rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need repentance. I'll add two more scriptures to this that I just love that I think are so important for each of our hearts. Romans 5, verse 8, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Then you can't get away from what I believe is one of the epic and just landmark scriptures of the Bible that I never get tired of talking about. I never get tired of preaching on John 3:16. I think it's a good reminder about every other week. We need to kind of lean into John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Can I have a good amen for God's word? I love this story. I love what caused the story. I love that the Pharisees are upset because Jesus is spending time with people and he's caring about people that they would not care about. And so he tells them a story. He's trying to ignite something in them with this thought of the lost sheep. But then he goes right into the coin and to the prodigal son. And it so bothers them because they would never put themselves in that light. They would never think of themselves as lost. They would never think of themselves in a bad light. They put themselves in the perfect light. They put themselves in the best light. And Jesus says it in a way where he asks a question. He says, wouldn't everyone do this? That if you had 100 and you lost one and you only had 99, wouldn't you leave the 99? He's asking them a question. Wouldn't you leave those 99 and go for the one? It's like he's trying to initiate something. He's trying to have something to start in their heart. He's trying to restart their heart to remember that they were once the one. He says, wouldn't you do this? And you could tell that in the context of this story and in the residual of what happens here in the life of Christ, they didn't get it. They did not see themselves as the one. They just saw themselves as more the perfect. You know, I love this story. I love how we see the heart of God, but also what I love about it is Jesus does math. Now, I was not that good in math and arithmetic. I could do numbers, and my dad was in sales, so I could figure out numbers. Leading a church organization, I understand numbers, and I gave you a number this morning, 1,113. That's a big number of churches that have been started, and I love volume, and I love when we reach people, and I love that we've served hundreds of thousands of meals as a church, and I love that we have hundreds of small groups, and I love all those numbers. But what I love about a church like this and the heart of your pastors is thank God for the volume and thank God for all the numbers that happens across church life in every location, but thank God for a church that still has a passion and a heart and a value for one. For one. We reach many, but we reach many by still caring for the one. I was asked, talking to Pastor Luke, and I was thinking about, and we were talking about how many people have given their life to Christ here at Life, and I said, how many last year? It's incredible. How many salvation numbers for 2023? It's unbelievable how many people gave their life to Christ and rededicated their life just in 2023, and I'll show you this number. It's 1,859 people gave their life. I said 1,859 people that gave their life. But when you read the scriptures in Luke, not only is it 1,859, really what the Bible's teaching and the heart of God is it's one times 1,859, because God counts by ones, and every 1,859 is a one. It was one by one, one by one. And you're glad that God counts by one, especially when you're the one. I think sometimes we think God just counts by like 10, 20, 100, 50, 30,000. You ever have that person who counts like that? Yeah, there's, I don't know, there's 300, 400, 500, 600 people. You know, how many things you got in there? I don't know, about 800. No. He's never about something. God is never guessing. He's never estimating about someone's life. He knows exactly every single one of us. And when your daughter's the one, you're glad he counts by one. When you're the one, you're glad he counts by one. God Almighty counts by one. Ones. It's the value of God's heart. It's the value of the church. But you remember something that's so important when we think about the one is each of us, we lead a small group or we join a team or God does something in our life and we want to make a difference. Wrote these values down that number one, every number has a name. So all 1,859, they all have a name. You know what's great about this church? We want to know your name. We want to know you. We have an open door. We want to be family. You're a one. You're just not, you're one person who matters. You're one person. Why? Because every name, number two, every name has a story. So every number has a name, and then every name has a story. And that's why, hey, that's why it's so important that that you do get connected, because you have a story. You have something to offer. You've had a journey. You've walked through something. You've navigated something. You've had your pain and your trauma. And we want to do everything we can to get around that and let you be able to tell your redemption and grace and turnaround story. Every number has a name. Every name has a story. And this is so important. And every story matters to God. And because it matters to God, it matters to us. So that's why the pillars and the why behind the what, when you get down to it, and we make these connects of belonging. Because you matter. We want to see you belong. We want to see you believe in Christ and believe God's word for your healing and believe God's word for a new beginning. And we want to see you build your life upon the foundations that are not movable in this world. So all those things matter. What a thought. He leaves the 99 and he goes for the one. And Jesus tells that story. The other day, I was meditating on Luke 15 and I was at one of our campuses, and I was hungry, big man hungry. So I was in need of a snack, just a refreshment. And so we have a little chapel that we do marriages in, and so there's a little pantry, a little closet over there that we have a lot of snacks. And so I just felt the Lord lead me over there to spend some time close to it. So, I mean, there was everything in there. There was everything, and I ran into some M&Ms. I love peanut M&Ms. Woo, come on, yeah, hey. So a little peanut M&S. There was some in a jar. They had them in these decorative jars. They looked so cute. It was like a wedding vibe. And so I thought, I wonder how many is in there. Because I want to know how many is in there because I'm eating all of them. Big man burning diesel. So I counted. There were 100. Think about this. Jesus tells a story. He says, there's a shepherd who has 100 sheep. And he knows there's 100 because he counts them. He counts well because they're everything to him. But then the Bible tells us that one of them, just one, wanders away. There's 100. One, that's what the Bible says. One wanders away. Now, I don't know if you know this or not, but sheep are prone to wander. Sheep will eat them. Their appetites will make them leave security well and will cause it to get into danger. It will eat itself into danger. Sounds like humanity. Sounds like ending up somewhere where I didn't want to end up at. How did I end up here? I have no idea why my life is like this, why I'm fighting this addiction, where I cannot find freedom, why I'm dealing with this anxiety, why my marriage is there, my kids are there, my mind is there, my life. How did I end up there? Sometimes we end up in places that we did not want to end up in. And the Bible says that one is lost. So the shepherd goes and he counts. 97, 98, 99. I put up 100. Count them again. 96, 97, 98, 99. I don't know about you, but 99 is not bad out of 100. You can't even tell I took one out of it. Who cares about that? I mean, if I'm shooting baskets and I make 99 free throws out of 100, I'm playing in the NBA. If I'm selling cars and I sell 99 cars out of 100, I'm going on a vacation. You know what I'm talking about? If I have a spelling test and I make a 99 out of 100, my mother is calling that a bona fide miracle. It's 99 out of 100. Who cares that it's 9? That's a big number. Who's worried about the one? I'll tell you who's worrying about the one. It is the shepherd who cares about the one. It is Jesus who cares about the one. Because one matters. Jesus counts by one. So the Bible tells us that the shepherd goes and looks for it. And he looks until. He looks for it. There's not a time clock. There's not a... It has to happen by Tuesday. No, he looks. He keeps searching. He keeps reaching. He keeps tracking. We keep feeding. We keep preaching. We keep giving. We keep loving. We keep praying. We keep believing. We keep helping. We keep letting people know we're here for you. We let people know, hey, I'm praying for you. We keep what? Inviting. We keep being, we keep until. And then all of a sudden the Bible says he finds it. Love what he does. Love what he doesn't do. He doesn't say, you terrible sheep. The Bible doesn't, it says he puts it on his shoulder. He brings it back. I had 100. I had 99. I lost one, but I found it. And I brought it back home. And he DMs and he TikToks and he calls and he Facebooks and he texts everybody and he's letting everybody know, you're not going to believe this. I had 100 sheep. I lost one of them, but I found it. And now that 99 is back to 100. I have found the lost sheep. I want you to all come over because we are going to get loud and we are going to party because 1,859 lost sheep came home and 2023. Come on, clap your hands if you thank God for that. And you're so glad if you're the one. You're so thankful if you're the one. The heart of God for one person is beyond what at times we can imagine. The heart of God for one. I wrote down just a couple of quick observations and then we'll wrap up. I think there are things that are important because that one serve does matter. Your one prayer does matter. Your one tithe and your one reach. Pausing in a workplace to pray for someone. Pausing in a neighborhood to say, I'm thinking about you. Noticing someone in pain. All that matters. But here are the four observations I wrote, and then we'll finish up. Here's the first thing that I learned from this story is this, that all are equally loved, but the lost are priority. Everybody loved. All we love you. Everyone's loved. But Luke 15 tells us that the lost ones are the priority. I have three children. I went to a place called Disney World in Orlando, Florida. And maybe you've been there, maybe you haven't. It's a big, huge amusement. Went to Disney World, and I have three children, and I lost one for 5 minutes. Now, listen, I still had two. I was doing all right. But at that moment when I lost my daughter, I did not want to hear from my other two children about needing ice cream or paying $85 for a turkey neck or going to buy a $100 ice cream bar. I don't want to hear, no. What I need you to do, we're going to get to the rides. We're going to get to all the, what I need you two to do is help me find your lost sibling. That's the priority right now. I love both of you. Love you. But the priority right now is the lost. We love everybody, but the priority of the body of Christ, the priority of those that have been found is doing everything we can to seek and to save that which is lost. Heart of God. Here's the second thing that I see in this story is you were never too lost or you are never too lost that God cannot find you. You know why? Because you're one of one. There's nobody like you. You're not just a Facebook IP address. You're not some digit online. God sees you. You don't understand. No one notices me. I'm not noticed. I'm not counted. No one is there for me. I feel lost among the multitudes, not in God's eye. You're not lost among the group. You're not lost among humanity. You're not lost among those around you. No. God sees you. You are not a face in a crowd. You are a soul who Jesus died for. Always remember that when you feel lonely. Always remember that when you feel forgotten. You're never too lost, that God does not see you. The third thing is God reserves heaven's loudest noise for when one repents and believes. Think of heaven's loudest noise is when Pastor Luke stands up here, some of the team stands up and says, is there anyone that would like to surrender their life to Jesus Christ? And when that person raises their hand or that person goes to a Connect Lounge and they give their, when that person says yes, all of heaven erupts. So I can tell you this, Sunday morning around the world is not a sleepy hour. It may be the most volume hour on the planet because all of heaven rejoices when one person gives their life to Christ. And we're going to do that in a few minutes. In a few minutes, I'll offer an opportunity that if you're here and you feel far from God, you say, I want to invite Jesus. I need a new beginning in Jesus. Heaven's, it's like the heaven event planters are waiting. Hold on. And then the volume is turned up because one lost sheep comes home. And then the last thing, and you know that this is the heart of this church. It's been the heart of this church. It's the heart of why we give financially, heart of why we serve, heart of why we do hope and help, it's heart of growth, all these things. It's why we reach the whole world by serving one. Reach the whole world by serving one. It's the heart of God. One by one. And if you're the one, you're glad he does that. Can I have a good amen? The other day, I was in one of those busy days. You ever have one of those busy days where you think a lot about yourself? Or do you not have those here? I call it a Dino day. It's Dino. It's Dino. I had to go to the airport early. I'm moving. I dropped somebody off. I got a busy day. Calendar hitting me up. I got a lot going on. A lot of volume. A lot of action, a lot of activity. And I got to get fuel in my truck, so I pull into this gas station real quick over where we have what we call a dream center, a forgotten community where we reach out and love people like you do. And so I pulled into there. I know that community well. And as I'm getting gas, I look around. It's about 5 a.m. in the morning. That's early. And there's a few people wondering. I thought, wow, they're going to work. But then I realized, no. This gentleman's homeless. Interesting. So he's in the trash can. I'm pumping gas. I'm not making eye contact. I don't have any cash. Got no cash. I don't feel comfortable Venmoing or cash apping people I don't know. So I'm just trying to hurry. And when I'm getting in my truck, the Holy Spirit whispers to my heart, do you have time for him? Man, how many knows the Lord will remind you of all those prayers you pray in church? Come on, where you at? Can I have an amen? Man, I got time for all those. I got time for a lot of people. I got time for my busy schedule. And he said, would you give him something from me since you don't want to? Why are you going to jam me like that, Lord? Why are you jamming me? Go in my truck, find $1 in my backpack, $2 in my glove box. I said, hey, man, I'm going to give you this. I said, it ain't from me. I didn't want to give it to you. It's from Jesus. Jesus sees you. Jesus loves you. This is not from me because I am selfish. This is from Jesus. And he just takes it and looks at me. I go to get in my truck. He says, hey, bro, you gonna pray for me? I resigned from all pastoral ministry at that moment. What is wrong with me? I said, I would love to pray for you. I prayed for him. It took 5 minutes and $5. Y'all hear what I just said? 5 minutes and $5. When I got done, he said, thank you. He said, when you were praying, I felt like it. And he's smiling at me. He said, I felt like the sun. S-O-N came up early for me. He counts by ones. And you're glad he does when you're the one. Let's bow our heads, let's pray together. Father, thank you for the scripture. Thank you for a church and pastors who just have a heart for people, humanity. Jesus, you're the great shepherd. You are the great shepherd. Just gonna take a moment, then pastor's gonna come and help you make that next step and connect. Oh, we don't want you to feel lonely. We don't want you to, you're not a face in the crowd. You're someone to be loved and cared for. All across this room watching, if you're here today and you just say, Dina, I feel far from God and I need a new beginning in Jesus. I feel alone. I feel like I'm a face in the crowd. I feel unnoticed and unloved. I feel the weight. Even though you may be very busy and there may be a lot of people in your life and you've got thousands of friends online, I feel alone. Can I take one more step? I feel lost. I don't know how I got here. Jesus is reaching out. All across this room, I'm not going to have you stand or come forward. The team will help you make those next steps, but I just want to pray for you and connect with you here and at all of our locations. If you just say, Dino, pray for me. I feel lost and I need Jesus. If that's you, can you just lift up your hand real quick and say, Dino, pray for me. I see hands going up. Thank you. Dino, pray for me. Dino, pray for me. I see hands going up. Ray, see, online, pray. I just feel far from God. I feel lost. Just leave it up. Pray for me. Pray for me, Dino. Thank you. Wow, what honesty. It's a good church when you feel like you could be honest. Can I just lead you in prayer? Why don't we all pray this together? Just pray all this together. Say, dear Jesus, I give you my life. I surrender my life. I ask you to forgive me of my sins. I believe that you died and you rose again. And so today, I surrender my life. Be my everything. Be my Lord. Be my shepherd. I'm not lost. I am found. I am yours and you are mine. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's clap our hands for all those who made that decision today.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. I trust you're encouraged by this incredibly powerful word. You know, you've always got a place to call home here at Life, and I want to encourage you to join us in one of our campuses in Auckland or Tauranga, or why don't you join us at church online? To find out more about Life and to stay connected with us, why don't you visit lifenz.org.